Welcome to Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell, awakening the world to the power of God's Word. And now, here is your host, Dr. William Campbell.
Welcome to Beyond Words Radio, where it's our ambition to move beyond simply talking about Christianity to living the Christian life. And today we're talking about the kind of life we often don't think we can live because we read about it in the early church, but we ask ourselves, does this stuff really happen today? Oh, you know, I'm talking about miracles, hearing the voice of God, healings. We're titling this message, Miracles and Healings. And we have with us two guests who are in the middle of a spiritual awakening in San Diego. Their names are Jeremy and Miranda Nelson. Thank you for joining us, you two.
Yeah, thanks, it's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, so tell us what's going on right now, and then I'm going to have, I think our listeners will be very interested, as I will be, to hear a little more of your own story and how you came to this place, but what's happening there in San Diego?
Yeah, well, we've been seeing the move of God now for about a year and a half, and about a year and a half ago in January of 2016, we did a normal conference that we would do every year in San Diego. We'd been doing conferences in San Diego for the last 8 years, and it was interesting. We got a prophetic word from a man named James Gall that God was going to release a move of his spirit and that the fire of God would fall from Vancouver, Canada, all the way to, Tijuana, Mexico, and that the first place it would fall would be San Diego. And so the next weekend, we did our San Diego conference, and the fire of God definitely fell. It has never stopped since. We decided to extend the meeting, from the last night of the conference, which was a Sunday, and we've now been going solid, 5 nights a week for a year and a half. And so anyway, we are just seeing an amazing move of the Spirit. People are getting healed. People are getting delivered. We've seen tons of salvations. And we're just having an amazing time in the presence of God every night.
Mm, wow. Miranda, add a little piece to it. What are you seeing?
Yeah, it's been absolutely amazing. The notable thing has been the manifest presence of God, the tangible realm of glory that, God's glory, just like Moses cried out, Lord, show me your glory. It was all of God's goodness and nature that passed him by. And he had a major revelation of who God is. And that's really what we've been seeing is the glory of God manifest in the midst of the meetings, in the midst of the worship, in the midst of the word. There's a massive spirit of revelation that comes every single night where, the revelation of the word just coming to life and both in the worship and through the message, as well as with the miracles. I mean, we've seen Lyme's disease healed, notable miracles, where people are literally getting off their deathbed with doctor's reports and being healed. We've seen multiple stage four cancers healed. We've had, tumors dissolve. We've had people with metal plates and pins in their bodies. That metal just disappears and their bones get recreated. We've had just paralysis healed and so many different things, Parkinson's. We've seen so many notable, remarkable miracles. And it's really just, a sign of the love of the Father being poured out on a generation. And it's spreading. I mean, we've seen, not only have we seen the miracles take place in San Diego, It's spread to different cities as people have received the impartation and gotten ignited by the fire and glory of God. And it's just been a powerful, powerful time in the presence. So we're excited and there's no end in sight.
Praise God. I love your talking about the love of God because, that's how we know something is not counterfeit. It's real. There are obviously counterfeit spirits. And when love is a motivation, that's a really good sign. And then you also mentioned the glory, the manifest presence. That's what revival is, isn't it? Historically, we...
Absolutely. And it's been really cool, even with the love of God. I was just thinking as you were saying that, it's been incredible because with the love of God being poured out, not only have there been physical miracles, but we've seen families healed and restored. We've seen...
Yeah, marriages restored.
Yeah, literally where people on the brink of divorce or have been divorced coming back together and being reunited and reconciled and fallen in love again. And it's been amazing. We've seen children that have left their homes coming back and being reconciled with their families. And it's just been amazing because it's the prodigals coming home, both to the father as well as literally in the natural, families being restored, which has been a sign of God's love, you know. It's been amazing.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Sometimes we think revival is something we can produce, get the best speaker, call for a meeting, put up a placard saying revival here. But in the end, it's the glory of God, isn't it? It's His presence. Talk to
Absolutely.
Us more about this. How do we invite the presence of God into our fellowships, into our ministries, our churches, our homes? What have you learned or are learning at this point?
Yeah, well, you know, talking about revival, we've been learning, you know, just what we really believe revival is, because a lot of times people talk about revival and it's no more than a buzzword, you know. It's like, well, we got a revival conference here, a revival over there. And one of the things that we've learned is that revival is, a time and space where it's a reintroduction to God. And God reintroduces Himself and His power and His goodness and His manifest presence. And as He reintroduces Himself to the church or a generation, He then, as He touches that generation, He reintroduces them to the new them. Because when we're touched by the manifest presence of God, we're changed. We're never the same. And one of the things we've been learning is that the spirit of revival is the Holy Spirit. And what makes revival revival is that the manifest presence comes. So God is omnipresent. He's everywhere all the time, but He's not always manifest present. And so what we've been experiencing is we've been learning that, you know, revival is a time and space like Moses had, where he went up on the mountain to pray and he had an intensified encounter with the presence of God. And after the 40 days and 40 nights, he came down off the mountain and everybody knew that he had been with God, because there was such a transference and impartation of the love of the Father and the glory of God that he began to, you know, literally shine with the realm of the Spirit. And so that's what we're seeing, is that God is marking a generation with the fire of His love and His presence. But what it's doing is it's burning out, a lot of the insecurities and the fears and all the things that hold people back from having a passionate pursuit of Jesus. And what we're seeing is we're seeing people fall more deeply in love with Jesus and getting a revelation of the Holy Spirit as God is reintroducing Himself in this fresh way.
Hmm. Yeah, wow. And I just want to add too that we've been learning a lot on just the power of yielding to Holy Spirit, and that's really what revival brings, is and how it sparks, how it starts, as well as the yielding of the Holy Spirit, or yielding to the Holy Spirit. Because a lot of the times, you know, in church, I feel like, you know, we try and box Holy Spirit in and you know, control how we want to do services and how we want to do moves of God. But if we're going to really let Holy Spirit flow and we're going to really let revival come in, then we need to break our walls down and allow Holy Spirit to be Holy Spirit, allow God to be God. And so we've really been learning in the midst of revival that, you know, we do our best not to control Holy Spirit, but to allow Him to flow. So we have extended periods of worship, extended times in the presence of God worshiping, as well as then just flowing with God however He wants to move. Sometimes that's in intercession, making decrees for our nation and for the nations of the earth, as well as, you know, moving in healing and then moving into the Word. And it's beautiful to see how the Holy Spirit works, like just weaving everything together. The worship and the Word and the ministry just ties together like a tapestry. And that's really what it looks like to yield to Holy Spirit, which then brings revival. And I want to encourage even those that are listening today that we need to allow Holy Spirit, just submit to Him and allow Him every single day. Say, Holy Spirit, have your way. Holy Spirit, move powerfully. Move, have your way. I yield to you. And as we do that, you know, God begins to move in a powerful way in our life. And we begin to see the breakthroughs that we've been craving and we've been desiring and we've been, you know, longing for. But it only comes as we completely lay ourselves down, allow God to be God.
So beautifully stated. Tell us a little about yourselves. How did you come to this place? Did you train for ministry? You know, just a little about yourselves.
Both Moran and I met in an internship in Canada and a ministry internship. And, we were traveling all over the place doing evangelism and different things. And then God called us both, to San Diego. And, as we met in Canada, it was amazing. You know, I was an itinerant minister. Our ministry at that time was called Living at His Feet Ministries. And, after Moran and I ended up getting married, we felt the call of the Lord to move to San Diego. And we started out there for, you know, a while, I'd say 4 years, doing our conferences and events and, you know, different things, as well as itinerating. We've both been, you know, traveling nonstop. Miranda since she was 20 years old. And, you know, we've been to over 50 nations together as a married couple. And so it was amazing because we did, I think it was 12 conferences in San Diego, as well as traveling full time. And then finally, you know, we were believing for God to release, you know, something of revival for that whole time. And then finally, revival broke out when we weren't even expecting it, when we weren't even looking for it. And that's when it happened. And so anyway, that's a little bit.
Yeah. And, you know, part of our journey, both of us, for Jeremy and myself, was, you know, we started out just in faithfulness to be obedient to the call of God in reaching the lost. And, you know, before we were ever full-time ministers from a pulpit, from a stage and a platform, you know, we were going faithfully daily, both of us, apart from each other. This was before we even knew each other. Myself, since I was a teenager, actually, since I was 18 years old, just traveling the world, doing missions, and then also just reaching the lost by going out to the shopping centers, going out to the gas stations, going out to the grocery stores, and just looking for people that needed touches from God and being led of the Holy Spirit to reach people. And whether that was praying for someone with a cast on, or praying for someone who had a walker, or just being led of the Spirit to give someone encouraging words through the prophetic, through hearing the voice of God, whatever it was, just loving on people. And as a result, seeing people come to know Jesus through that. And, you know, we've both been doing that since we were young. And when you're faithful with a little, God will entrust you with much. And so without even knowing, at least for myself, I know I can speak that before I even knew that I was going to have a full-time, you know, worldwide platform, I just loved Jesus and I loved people. And so, you know, that took me to the nations through missions. I went with Youth with a Mission for a while. And then apart from that, just on my own, you know, faithfully going out to the streets in my own hometown in Canada, and praying for people and loving on people and winning souls that way. And as a result, you know, God brings the promotion when we're faithful with the little. And whether you're called to a pulpit ministry or you're called to the marketplace, whatever it is, both are powerful. And, you know, but we need to be faithful to reach the lost through the love of Christ, because Jesus commanded us to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper, cast out demons. Freely you receive, freely give. It says in Matthew 10, 7 and 8. And so as I was faithful with that, as Jeremy was faithful with that, God promoted us and gave us platforms to speak around the world and conferences. And we began to travel. And like Jeremy said, traveled to 50 nations. And we continue to travel now. We continue to preach the gospel in the nations. And but as well, just see revival in our own hometown in San Diego. And so it's powerful. And we're just blessed to be used of God and to see God move in mighty ways. He's good.
That's for sure.
Some listening may say, well, listen, you're talking about the Holy Spirit. It makes me nervous. And let me start into this topic and let you all fill it out. The God of the Bible is a triune God, all of one person. There are these three expressions, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And the average Christian tends toward maybe one or the other, one of the three. And God wants to know him as a whole person, the Father's love, the Son's gospel. A lot of the evangelicals get that. The liberals tend to understand the Father's love. And the Holy Spirit is part of this triune Godhead. And you might say the Father sent us the Son, who together they sent the Spirit, but you see this sense of more and more intimacy, and the Spirit of God is what where the experiential side comes in. And sometimes people freak out because they say it's just experiential. But on the other hand, if someone loves you, don't you want to experience that love? Why don't you guys carry the thought further?
Yeah. Well, you know, I think that one of the things God is doing in this season in the church is God is, you know, he's showing his fullness to the church. And so, yeah, he is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And one of the things that we've been learning about the Holy Spirit is that, you know, some people have treated him like he's a mystical force. You know, some people, when they think about the Holy Spirit, they think about him as a goosebump, a tickle, a wind, a fire, a dove. People will call the Holy Spirit an it, But the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is our comforter, that, you know, if we're obedient to Jesus and we love him, he'd pray to the Father, and the Father would send us another helper. He would send us the comforter, and when he came, he would remind us of the words that Jesus spoke. He would, you know, show us of things to come, and that he wouldn't speak on his own accord, but he would speak only that which the Father speaks. And one of the things that I believe God wants to do is God wants to demystify the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is not a mystical force. He's not a manifestation. He's actually a person. And, you know, one of the things that God wants to do is he wants to teach the church that, you know, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are three, but yet they're one. And so that means that, you know, the Holy Spirit is a co-equal with the Father. He's a co-equal with the Son. And when you start to see him as a person and not just a thing or an it or a manifestation, then all of a sudden you can have a relationship with him. And so God wants to teach the church how to begin to position themselves to encounter the Holy Spirit by realizing and recognizing that he's an actual person, just like the Father, just like the Son. And, you know, the Bible tells us that, you know, the Holy Spirit is within us and upon us, and he's in us for us, and he's upon us for others. And so I believe that we're in a season right now where God wants to take the kind of mystery out of things, and he wants to, you know, give us a grid and an understanding that we can talk to the Holy Spirit just like you can talk to your friend. You can talk to the Holy Spirit just like, you know, a family member. I mean, the Holy Spirit wants friendship with us, and the Holy Spirit will only glorify Jesus. He'll only speak the things that the Father is saying. And I believe that, God is awakening a whole generation to this. And one of the things that we need to understand is that, you know, the scriptures tell us in the book of Jude that God's ability to keep us is far greater than the devil's ability to deceive us. The very last part of Jude, you know, it says, now unto him who is able to keep you and present you in his glory faultlessly without stumbling, be glory and honor and praise unto Christ Jesus. And so I believe that God is training the church to have a greater trust in the Father and the Son's ability to keep him. But it's the Holy Spirit that's going to bring the manifestation of the things of God on the earth. Through intimacy with him, we'll know Jesus and we'll know the Father more.
You know, just like it talks about all through the Gospels and through the epistles, that the Holy Spirit brings the fruit of the Spirit. The only way we can walk in true love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control is through the power of the Holy Spirit. Even Jesus said in John 16, verse 7, that it's to your advantage that I go. He was talking to his disciples. He said, it's to your advantage that I go, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And all through, you know, John, Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit and prepares the way for the Holy Spirit, because he wanted his disciples and he wanted those following him to understand that we need the person of the Holy Spirit. You know, in the early church, well, even before Jesus ascended into heaven, after he resurrected from the dead, it says in Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth. And so even Jesus was trying to tell his disciples that, listen, it's awesome that I've been with you, but I can't be with everyone at all times. But the Holy Spirit is released to empower you believers to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, to walk in as witnesses, as powerful witnesses. The way that we're going to win the lost isn't by just mere words. Even Paul said that in 1 Corinthians, that, that, you know, he walked by the power, demonstration of the Spirit of God. And so we need the power of the Holy Spirit to come upon us and to know the person of the Holy Spirit in order to be powerful witnesses and see this world won for Jesus, that people would know who he is. And so the early church, when the Holy Spirit came upon them, you know, Peter was changed from doubtful and unbelieving, which, you know, he proved in his denial of Jesus at the cross, to all of a sudden boldness came on him, and he preached and 3,000 were saved that day on the day of Pentecost. And so that's really what I believe, you know, why we need the Holy Spirit. When I grew up in a conservative church and I didn't know who the Holy Spirit was. I knew Jesus and I knew Father, but I didn't know Holy Spirit. And when I was 17 years old, my life got changed when I got filled with the Holy Spirit, because before that, I was timid and I was shy and I was insecure. I didn't know my identity as a daughter of God. You know, we're called to be sons and daughters of the living God. And I didn't know that until I got filled with the Holy Spirit at 17. And I went from being timid and shy, even afraid to pray in small groups in a Christian high school, to becoming bold and passionate. And suddenly I'm a bold witness, and I began to see salvations for the first time in my life. I began to see miracles for the first time in my life because I understood the person and the power of the Holy Spirit. So it's necessary. We need to know him.
You know, as we think about this concept, a lot of people, they just don't get it because they have very little exposure, very little experience. And so, dear friend, if you're listening and this makes you nervous, let me say, you're talking about a relationship with God, and you come through Christ to receive salvation, and then you talk to the Father and the Son and say, I want to know you more intimately. I want to hear your voice. You open yourself. God is a gentleman. He never forces you. Now, one reason people are afraid, and I address this to you, Jeremy and Miranda, is just as we mentioned early, the idea of revival has become a human effort, and it's a phony revival when it's not the very presence of God coming into our midst. And we can't orchestrate that. We can invite him, but we can't make it happen ourselves. It's his work. So with the Holy Spirit, we have in America, I think, a lot of people with good intentions who are doing things, claiming things in the name of the Holy Spirit, but there's not a lot of power there, and it's more of a human effort, and it turns people off. And so would you agree with me? I think you all are experiencing something a little different right now.
Yeah, definitely. I think that, you know, a lot of what you're talking about is, you know, people have made moves of God or revival or even the power of God a buzzword, you know, and it's sad that some people have actually used those different terms as means of attraction to try to just build their own ministry. And there's people that have tried to draw people onto themselves, but really we're called to draw all men onto Jesus. And, you know, one of the things that we've seen is that if there's a counterfeit, there's a real. And so we've been experiencing the real. I mean, it's amazing. You know, you couldn't make people go to church for a year and a half if you put a gun on them, you know, and said, you got to go to church. I mean, I'm joking around, obviously, but still, it's the truth. I mean, it's the drawing of the Holy Spirit that is bringing people. It's the Father's love being poured out. I mean, for us, we've had over 58 nations come through the revival. And, you know, people keep coming from all over. We've had every nation or every state in America represented that have come out, you know, to the meetings except for three. And on live stream, we've got over around, you know, 1,500 people a night that watch, you know, every single night. And so for us, what we're experiencing, I believe, is definitely unusual. It's not a conference. It's not an event. It's not anything that we could work up on our own. It's simply the Father is just doing something in San Diego, and it's even multiplying. We've seen, you know, some pastors and leaders that came early last year in February from Seattle, and they came and attended the meetings, and, you know, God touched them, and they went back to their church, and it broke out in their church, too. They've now been going for over a year in Seattle at the Seattle Revival Center, our good friend Darren Stott. And so we also have seen where God moved from we went up to Canada, and as we went to Canada, we were in Ottawa, and we preached there, and a woman with stage 4 cancer got healed, and as a result, the same anointing of revival broke out there. They've now been in revival for around 9 months and seen over 2,500 salvations on the streets, and were interviewed on the 700 Club. And so what we're seeing is that what makes the outpouring of the Spirit that we're seeing different than what other people are saying is it's actually being multiplied. God is moving not just in San Diego, but he's moving in Seattle. He's moving in Ottawa. And we're believing God for him to move all over the earth. You know, one of the things that you said that's true is you can't manufacture, you can't produce revival out of your flesh. It doesn't work. You know, it has to be initiated by the Father. And so what we're seeing is that people can't argue with the fruit of revival. And so the fruit of the outpouring, the fire and glory outpouring in San Diego has been that thousands of people are being touched by the power of God, healed, saved, and delivered. Not only that, it's multiplying to set fires in other cities and other nations, and it's amazing because there's also places in you know, Peru and places in Lithuania, different spots all around the world that have been experiencing revival fire, you know, since the fire and glory outpouring broke open in San Diego. And so one of the things we're praying is that, you know, God would release an awakening all over the world, because we just want people to know Jesus. And let's just face it, we're living in one of the darkest days and ages ever. And you know, there's more martyrs in our day. If you actually study it out, you can Google this. There's more martyrs in the last 100 years than there was in the last 2,000 years. And so we're living in a day where we must see God's power. We must see his spirit. And, you know, the Bible is very clear that that Jesus is coming back, and the devil knows his time is short. So he's trying to wreak as much havoc as he can on the planet before Jesus returns. And so I believe that we're going to see a great spiritual awakening happen, you know, before Jesus comes back. And I'm not claiming that what is happening in San Diego is the fullness of that. I just believe that it's a birth pain of what's coming, and that, you know, it's a first fruits, and same with Seattle, same with what's happened, you know, up in Ottawa, and even a lot of the moves of the Spirit that have happened in the last 20 years, they're birth pains, you know, of what is to come. But ultimately, we believe that Jesus is going to awaken the nations to the reality of his love. The Bible says, ask the Lord for the nations as your inheritance. And we believe that we're in that season where God wants to awaken the church in America, especially those that, you know, haven't heard the gospel preached with the Holy Spirit, you know, moving. And ultimately, it's about the love of God and salvation. And so anyway, I hope that helps with your question.
As it does. I know our time's running out now, and I just want to mention to the listener, if you'd like to listen to, even to meet Jeremy and Miranda, they're coming to our area. I'm broadcasting out of North Carolina, up in the Western Mountains in Hendersonville. They'll be coming here to the Restoring the Foundation's advanced conference. It's called Ignite. It'll be September 21st to 23rd of this year, 2017. You can learn more by dialing RTF, calling 696-9075. If you're out of town, that use area code 828-696-9075. Jeremy and Miranda, how do they, if people want to watch live stream of this outbreak in San Diego, how do they tune in?
Yeah, they can just go to ElishaRevolution.com, and you can watch on the live stream. And if you just click on Fire and Glory Outpouring, it will bring it right up. You can even type Fire and Glory Outpouring into Google, and it should bring up the live stream. And so it's ElishaRevolution.com. So like the double portion guy, not Elijah, but Elisha.
Okay.
And so they can check that out 5 nights a week, Wednesday through Sunday, and it's at 7 o'clock. And we also have an app, so if they have a smartphone, mm-hmm. You know, iOS or Android or whatever, you can actually go to your app store and you can type in Elisha Revolution, and you can download the app, and it has live stream capabilities there as well as all the teachings and all the different things that have been happening.
Well, we join you in prayer for this to continue spreading around the world, and thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you for having us. Blessings.
This has been Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell. Beyond Words is a ministry of Scripture Awakening. And if you'd like to help support this ministry, or if you would like to know more about Beyond Words, visit us on our website at scriptureawakening.com.